Order.
We call an order, please.
Is it possible for you guys to stay there at least until they get past Elmer's thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it the regular council meeting?
No.
No. Turn it off or what?
No, he just hooked him up.
He's talking.
Grant. Brian. He's in a bar. Jack and Coke.
No. Call the meeting, our executive committee meeting, Tuesday, February 12th, 4:30 p.m. Conference room, 8th floor, City County Building. Councilman Cartier is here. Councilman Retta, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street, Councilman Powers, Councilman Sheldon, Councilwoman Diller. Also joining us is our legislative aide, Anthony DeFore. Need a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're going to shift some of the agenda items due to circumstances and requests from City of Wilmington, John Grego, who's here. We want to move him up before item 3. Also, executive session, our outside attorney will be here at 5, and he is on the clock. So we want to move him as well before we go into our point number 3 and conclude the rest of the meeting. Mr. Rago is here.
Motion to go out of order.
Motion to adjust the agenda. Is there a motion?
Motion to go out of order.
The move is second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Rago, you have the floor.
Thank you, sir.
Please.
Get him off the floor.
Up here?
Yes.
Wherever you like.
Wherever you're comfortable.
Wherever I'm comfortable.
All right. Yes,
Mr. President, and I know we have to change to make arrangements for folks who have to leave, but we do have a couple of people here for interview who also has been here waiting. So if we can kind of make certain that we can speed this all along so that we don't have people waiting unnecessarily. And we definitely don't want to have our attorney waiting any more than a half a second. So
I'll be short and sweet.
Thank you.
Council President, council members, thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm here before you to address the what is known as the workshop room on the first floor of this building. I have the authority of City Council President Theo Gregory to move forward with a renovation of the what we will then refer to as the council committee room. If you notice this diagram in front of you, we've reconfigured the room. The entrance is up to the right top. That's the existing entrance. So we're moving the business of council down the other end of the room. This room would essentially what happened was we were looking at I think it comes down to the professionalism of the council proceedings themselves, and also the ease by which council members can interact with those who appear before council members, and also for the audience and the public, those who attend these meetings. The room is just, it's similar here. It's a kind of a conference a table that's set up. And our particular problem we have in the city is because we televise all of these committee meetings, we have to also deal with video and audio issues. So we would like to move to this configuration. And it's a formal hearing room. If you're familiar with other types of hearing rooms, if I may approach here, this room will feature all the modern conveniences. We'll have a television monitor that'll be mounted in back of the council members for not only audience but for those providing testimony. This TV monitor is a floor monitor which will be used by council members. This room would also be equipped with Skype if we wanted to bring anyone in other than live for testimony, and also will be set up for audio testimony if we ever get to that point, if that's needed. the a few things on this room. This is the, if you're familiar with the room, this is the big window that faces Walnut Street. So we'll need to tint that because, again, we have television issues we have to deal with. So we'll tint that window to preserve the natural look of the local neighborhood and the local area of the city. But at the same time, it'll control temperature in the room and also control the lighting for television purposes. We also have other plans. We think we're also looking at the possibility of providing another monitor somewhere out here in the audience, just in case that monitor up at the front is not sufficient for people to view details of plans and things like that. So that's pretty much what I had for you. I guess not the dilemma or predicament is we would like to move forward with this plan, but of course we share the room. And so we're prepared to move forward with this, and we think of for all the purposes I mentioned, we just think it'll give a new dynamic to a discussion between council members and those who are coming to provide testimony, and then also be more convenient for the public and more comfortable for the public. So,
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I just want to say, Councilman Holland's been here a lot longer than me. I've been here 8 years. I think maybe we've used it for the swearing in function and the United Way kickoff. And I think that pretty much is the uses that we have, not that we might not have an intermediate thing. So I'm just saying, I would yield to.
Yes.
Betsy Burton, Department of Council. I just want to say I spoke with John when this first came up.
And the student council.
One of the other times that we use it is for swearing in ceremony, and just as an auxiliary room. Christian. But that really is an extension of what we've used it in recent years.
Yeah.
Swearing in, student government day, and any other functions that we would have to come on. Not use it for more community purposes.
You have the checkbook, right?
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I have no issue.
Okay. Councilman Holland.
Yeah, my concern here is I think the upgrade is welcome and needed and would certainly facilitate better meetings. My only concern here is that we do share the room, and we don't use it that often, has been stated.
Right.
But when we do need it, and I know that the memo says special events, my concern is that when we do need it, if we need it, do we have to jump through any hoops? And I think there should be some memorandum of understanding. There was one occasion when I did need it to have a meeting on a Saturday, and it wasn't easy trying to track down the president of the city council to get the key, to see if we can get into it. And if, you know, it's a shared room. We should have access to the room the few times that we do need it without having to go through some unilateral person in the city to try to get access to it. So
yeah.
My real concern here is access. I think all this is fine, but when we need it, I think we should have access to it without having to jump through any kind of hoops, anything else that, you know, is equally owned. And I think this can morph into county council not having access when we need to have access.
Okay.
So that needs to be spelled out. How do we, you know, without going through tracking down some individual, it is the jointly owned room. I understand you're going to upgrade it. We don't use it that often, but when we need it, we want to use it.
I hear you, and I understand that concern, and that's Betsy and I and Jim, we've talked about that a little bit. What we were thinking of doing was we were thinking of placing a divider somewhere in the middle of the room. My only concern is that once we upgrade this area, this will have some pretty high-end equipment in it. We prefer that this desk and this council desk, much like we watch council chambers now, both of us, not be used for public meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But we had already talked that, for instance, if you were to need this area for some offshoot of something that were happening in council that evening or student government day, we talked about those kinds of things. I'm sure we could accommodate you on that end and that would
and
be
I
fine.
Think, I just think it needs to be spelled out. Not that I have anything specific in mind, or we need to have some event that we need to say to you up front. I mean, if you have half the building, then you have half of it. But the other part of that building should be up to this council to determine when we may want to use it, and not to have some very strict application that's decided by city council. I just think, you know, if you want to cordon off that section that you think is very vital to you, then that's fine. But there's another half of that room that we should not have to jump through these hoops to use it.
Okay. I understand your concern. If I, Council President. I saw another hand.
Well, if we can get a memorandum of understanding to address that, I think that needs to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, we need a process.
Okay, we'll work on that process. Let me just ask this one question, if I may.
Yes.
Is this essentially you saying to us, we'll essentially relinquish control of the room to you for your committee hearings, because this is where we would probably expand not only current committee hearings but probably budget hearings also. It may evolve into that, but with the understanding that if county government needed to use the portion, which is essentially the audience portion, for something, then you would be okay with that?
Yes, as long as we have access to the room. We should not have to track down anyone and get some kind of resolution through city council to have access to the room.
Okay.
It is a public room.
Okay.
No matter how you want to designate it or whatever you're doing to it, if you want to protect your equipment,
actually,
that's one thing.
The council member, it actually is, it would change from, I want to be clear with you, I don't want to mislead you. This would change from a public room. This would no longer be available. This would be treated like council chambers. This would be a committee meeting room. I don't know if, let me use an example here with this room. I don't think do you allow public meetings in this room?
This is a public meeting, it's over
floor. No, I'm sorry, outside groups to come in and use.
If a council person were to use that room.
Oh, absolutely.
For whatever reason we want to use it to conduct county government business, not to have the Boy Scouts meet there.
No, that's fine.
But
I
we
thought
have access
it meant outside public meetings, I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, I think we're fine with that.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Retta, Councilman Smiley, Street, and Powers, in that order.
Thank you. The design on this looks nice, John.
That's what I just said.
It looks like it'll enhance the area. What's it going to cost us?
Nothing.
Well, if depending on the agreement that we strike in terms of, if you would like, I'm going to answer it this way. If you would like to have use of this for your hearing, then we would go halfers on the project. If you're okay with the fact that this essentially, that's what I was trying to be clear on, this essentially would be a city council committee meeting room with the understanding with county government that if it needed to use a portion of this room for something that's almost a spillover from council chambers, we're perfectly fine with that. But we would have to treat it as our new committee room. Is essentially what it comes down to.
What with Councilman Hollins brought up, and a couple other people brought up about the amount of time that we use it during the year.
Yes.
I mean, if we're going to do 50-50 and the amount of time we use it during the year, you guys are making that good.
Well, in fact, the reason why I approached you, I came to county government, was because the first thing I checked on was the amount of time you use that room. And when I realized how little use that room for official government purposes, that's why I approached to see if it was okay if we used it.
That's very problematic. Thank you, Mr. Redden.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mr. Smiley, and remember, we are outside council.
That's why I asked if you had the checkbook. I don't even want to talk about it. Okay?
That's fine.
I would just suggest that go forward with the folding wall, whatever you want to do there. Maybe put a key card access at the entrance, provide a one card to our clerk of council, and with a check-in system where if we need one council member needs to use it, they'll notify you, they can get a card from clerk of council, we have access.
Okay.
With that, I know we need to move forward. I know there's more people that want to comment, but in order to get a motion and a second and move on with the discussion, I would make a motion that county council agree to allow city council to move forward with the room renovations, with the codicil that we will enter into a memorandum of understanding to continue to allow county council to use part of the facility.
If you could hold that motion, Councilman, I think it's important that we hear from the rest of our esteemed colleagues. Thank you, sir. Mr. Street.
From what you're saying, nobody's going to agree with it. I still have a concern about spending taxpayer dollars, be it city, county, whatever, for these rooms, both that room and the chambers itself, and public use be simply prohibited. Even to the point where one of your own council members wanted to have a public hearing, and that was prohibited. I just think that's not an appropriate way, good way to run government, but I've said it, and I don't want to argue about it any further right now.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Powers.
I've only been on council for 6 years, and the only time we've ever used that room has been with a reception, and it's pretty full. Now, cutting it in half, how's that going to work? What are we going to do it out in the hallway? Why are we paying for something we're going to lose what little bit we use in the whole? I don't know if I can totally agree with it. So.
Now there is, and we'd be happy to try to facilitate with the city administration the use of the third floor. We do have I'm not sure how many are familiar with the third floor conference room area. Third floor conference room area in this building is used for all the purposes you mentioned, Council Member Street, public meetings, receptions, food is served, and so on.
I mean, right now it's been convenient to walk out the door and go there. If we were going to move it to another floor, we'd just move it right up here. So
I think in light of the questions, and I don't think we need to rush this through today. I think we need to put a hold on the motion.
Withdraw the motion.
Motion withdrawn. I'd like to appoint our IT people, Mr. Councilman Wyatt and Councilman Dillard, to work with the city administration to flush out all the questions and issues that we may have. And then we come back, then we can deal with the substance of the matter.
I would just ask that this be put on the next exec or next finance meeting so we can try to wrap it before the end of February. Okay. So they can get moving with it. Does that work within your time frame?
Well, because we would like to move forward. Yeah. Thank you.
Councilman Dillard, is that good?
I'm good.
Councilman?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Council President, Council members, thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Thank appreciate you.
Good to see you. Okay, good to see you.
For reception, you might go move it up here.
Thank you, Mr. Boyle, for working on that. As well as Betsy, thank you. We now have our.
Pretty good.
We only use it on 4 minutes.
That's the only time I've ever seen it.
Thank you so much.
Once every 2 years.
You haven't lost that magic.
Thanks, Councilman. I appreciate it.
He's had a good week.
Give him the whole building.
I now move that we go into executive session for the purposes of discussion, litigation, strategy in the case of Save Our County versus Newcastle County Council, and obtaining advice from my outside and in-house counsel on the pending litigation. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Ask that everyone except our outside counsel and my legislative aide and counsel to the council, please leave the room. This August body, please do so. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Any questions or would you like to make a statement?
Well, my name is Torn Williams. As all you know, I work for Architectural Alliance and I've been there for 15 years. So I think it kind of keeps me pretty versed with license inspections, both with the city and Newcastle County. I think it's going to benefit us both. No real questions.
Questions from council. his resident from Council Member Dillon.
I was just going to say thank you for stepping up and being willing to serve.
No, not a problem. My pleasure.
He's an outstanding friend. I had the honor of conducting his wedding.
Yes, you did.
And blessing his baby. And his mom is a member of my church. I could speak directly to his character and his ability. Councilmember Wiring, a great selection.
Well, I didn't really have anything to do with it in all candor, but I'm glad that your friend and this eminently qualified gentleman is willing to serve, as stated by Councilwoman Diller. And thank you for your future service.
It's an honor.
Thank you.
I'll just say
Councilmember Smiley,
thank you for being willing to serve, and I apologize for the amount of time we had to keep you here.
Not at all.
Today, but you're not on the clock.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Just as a matter,
Councilmember Weiner.
Yes, just as a matter of procedure,
yes,
we'll be voting on your membership at council meeting appointment. It's more of a ratification, and I imagine that it will go pass. I don't want to speak for any of the council members, but make sure that you get a copy of the rules and that the county law department communicates with you concerning procedures and rules, both substantive and procedure. And don't hesitate to ask for continuing legal education periodically in this area.
No problem. Right. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For coming. All right. Thank you for your patience.
I got a new wife and baby.
Tell the family hello.
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Be good.
You too. R13-050, consenting to the appointment of Donald Baker, Diversity Commission. Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes. Don is with us. You can join us here at the table if you don't mind. Donald Baker is someone I've known for a number of years. I know his family as well, and he has volunteered to serve on the Diversity Commission. He is an experienced executive-level professional. He has a varied background in a number of different organizations, including FAIN, and he also is a host of his own television program where I was pleased to be his first guest right after President Barack Obama was elected president for the first term. He's been a great asset to the community and a very spirited young person, and I think it would be a blessing to the Diversity Commission. And we've already had conversations about the Diversity Commission. We share the same concerns as it relates to diversity, and I've also sort of cautioned him that government moves very slowly, and diversity issues are very challenging. But he is up for the challenge, and I feel that he's going to do an outstanding job. And I just want to thank you in advance for being willing to take on a tough assignment.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions to our candidate, Councilmember Smiley?
Is your show still on the air?
Actually, it is.
Good job. I want to do sure. Kind of a kickoff. You know? Thanks a lot.
Councilmember Smiley, appreciate it. Weiner.
Thank you. Just a matter of interest, I also had a TV show for 7 years that I hosted and produced. There was a young man named Jim Baker who also had a show at the same time on what was then Rollins Cablevision 2, and it's very important for local spokesmen to get out. I was much younger, too, at the time. We did that. I'm looking forward to tuning in on your show. When is it and what station?
Actually, I am no longer the host of that show. Actually, it's hosted by my mother, Ruth Baker.
Okay.
And it is the third Sunday of the month, and I believe it's at noon. But I actually served as a co-host back when it was Rollins Cablevision on 13. Mm-hmm. I may have been 10 or so around that mm-hmm. time. Youth from a Black Perspective was the name of the show. So.
Very nice. My show was Focus Delaware.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Baker, would you like to make a brief comment to this August body?
Yes, sir. First and foremost, I would like to thank you, County Council President Bullock, and certainly thank Councilman Hollins for introducing this. I have, over the years, been very involved heavily in community. I'm a small business owner. I own a consulting firm that focuses on nonprofit organizations, brand management, and strategic planning. And one of the things that I recognize, I'm also a political scientist, I recognize the value that government should bring to the people. And as a part of that, making sure that all individuals have an opportunity is something that I have a vested interest in. Someone took an interest in me, and I am hoping to return that favor to our citizens. So thank you so much, and I really appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you coming in. Councilmember Street, do I see your hand?
He really didn't think he was going to get right.
I knew it. I knew it was coming.
I'm real happy, real proud of you. Glad you're going to do this.
Thank you, sir.
The fact of the matter is, you know, your mother, who you mentioned, was one of the people who trained me, mentored me on my first job with the Homeless School Council. And I remember, I think I still have some black hair left. You sitting in my office when you were on your way to the food bank.
Yes, sir.
And those of us who know we're on the eve of retirement, and know at some point in time we'll have to give up and pass the baton. I'm just sitting here elated that you were the people I know we're going to pass the baton to, being passed. I know you're going to do a hell of a job. The only thing I'm going to say to you is Morehouse 1997 pre-law, what you're doing is good, but at some point in time we're going to need lawyers too, aren't we? Aren't we?
Yes.
Thank you. Hopefully I'm training a small army of them as well. Thank you.
Is there no other comments or questions? Thank you, Mr. Baker. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Move on to R13-054, approval of revised position description for Chief of Police pursuant Picasso County Code Section 26.03.05F. We have before us a very important, critical issue to consider. Somebody talk. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Parsons. Position description for our chief is before us. We do have precedent in terms of the code. The administration is asking us to consider removing the title acting so that the chief can move forward with responsibilities and duties as chief of our law enforcement agents. I believe that he, at this point, deserves strong consideration and appointed by the administration. He's proven thus far with his TAPS program, his energy, enthusiasm, and the support of rank and file to be worthy of this consideration. So it behooves us as the will of this esteemed body, if you would consider supporting this revised position description for our chief. Mr. Street.
I support it in no uncertain terms, and I think it's important.
Where is this?
I think it's important for us as a government, and I think in the instant matter, the administration made a good decision. Now, some of the concerns I raised in September, among those concerns, some of which have been discussed today, but I talked about the number of police chiefs, the number of public safety directors that we had within an 8-year period of time. It appears to me that 2 months, 5 days later, we've been in an active capacity. I think the conversation we've had today, some of the events over the last several weeks, I think he's doing a good job. He was present yesterday, as a matter of fact, one of the first ones on the scene. There seems to be good reception coming from the department, from the FOP, from the officers themselves. Before he got in this capacity, I had experience working with him. Ongoing problem we had in Rosegate, his leadership and his word and his bond was followed through during that period of time. And I don't think we should be married to him having his bachelor's degree. He has all the other things that, that coincide with it. And he's got a track record of leadership. And what I haven't seen in the last 8 years is anybody going outside the box. And you do the same thing the same way, you're going to get the same result. And hopefully, some of the innovation, some of the energy he has, some of the creativity, I think it's worthy of our consideration. And most importantly, we don't need to do this again. We don't need to put somebody else in an active capacity and then act this out and vote on this. One of the things that, that need to happen as far as the department is concerned, in my view, is everybody needs to know where we're going under whose leadership. And I think our officers need that. I think they deserve that. And I think we need to move on this. And for those who may not agree, at least vote it up or down tonight so that everybody knows where we're going. Either we're going to do it or we're not going to do it. I, for one, think we should do it.
Thank you, Council Member. Council Member Kilpatrick.
What are we seeing here in the difference between A and B? I mean, A says must hold a bachelor's degree from an accredited college or university. So we're adding, basically, I guess, or the equivalent law enforcement experience, education, and rank from Newcastle County Police. I want it understood that in my questioning this, this has absolutely nothing to do with the person being considered. I've known Chief Setting for many years. I knew him back through Carousel when he was with the Mounted. Showed up at my parade every year, which was always a plus for me. I have the greatest respect for him for what he's doing now. In looking back through this, this was changed in 1997 by the same administration to require a bachelor's degree for this office. My problem here is that when you go back through the criteria, and maybe Lynn can help me here if I'm misquoting, when you go back through the criteria, you have the previously classified lieutenant colonel, deputy chief of police, which says possession of a bachelor's degree. You have a police major that says possession of a bachelor's degree. When you get back to police captain, it's a completion of some college courses. Now, not that I believe that the education degree, the paper in hand, means everything, but I'm having a problem by changing the classification of the chief of police to be less stringent than it is of the three positions below him. And I think as when Tim and I went through the criteria for the auditor, when they were asking for one position to be changed in classification and description, our task to the present auditor was to go back and treat this as a department. Yeah. Treat this as coming in entry level and how you work your way up. And I would be much more comfortable if I knew that this was going to be, that this was looked at for all positions instead of just the one. I don't care if they all turn out to say exactly what the new wording is in this one, but I don't feel that we can lower for the chief position without at least relooking at the three positions below that. And I would, and I know this is very, very hard, but you know, it, when it talks about when it talks about our equivalent law enforcement experience, I would really like to see some definition on that. Okay. And that may be a changing definition for starting at you know, the rank of police captain, or you know, wherever we start to build up, so that we know what an equivalent is to that degree.
The HR director is here. Would like her to address.
And I apologize. I didn't realize you had come out of executive session. I was out there waiting. When meeting chief of human resources, and our office has reviewed the spec of the chief of police, and actually we reviewed the other specs as well. The change that is being proffered is that to include the language, as you are reading, of the equivalent law enforcement experience, education, and rank from Newcastle County Police. Actually, this is consistent with what you have in the position of major. I may have missed some of your discussion, but the spec of the major says the same thing, a bachelor's degree from an accredited college or university, or the equivalent experience, education, and rank from a nationally accredited police department. All of the specs pretty much say that at the upper echelons of the stratosphere, but they're all built on that of a police officer, where if you go back to the original spec of the police officer, there's some basic requirements. I can read it into the record, but if you look at the spec of the police officer, you have a requirement of a certain number of college credits, a certain experience in the military, or some combination thereof. You build upon that each step of the way, and so you don't see those requirements repeated in each spec, because it's understood that when you get to a certain level, you've got to have that underlying foundation. So, you know, to the extent that I'm not privy to the discussion beforehand, but to the extent that the concern is the lack of a formal degree, a four-year accredited degree, that's actually the same as the major. The major does not require a four-year degree. You can have a four-year degree, a bachelor's degree, or some equivalent thereof. It gives an opportunity, you know, to keep the specs consistent for those internal candidates who are moving up, you know, through the ranks. I don't necessarily support that for external candidates, because you don't know what their training and experience is when they're coming to a higher level position in Newcastle County. But this is actually an internal designation. I don't know if I've confused the issue more, but it's keeping consistent with what we do in Newcastle County, quite honestly, and it's also consistent with the position of the major. It's one or the other.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
If I can also add, in researching this, actually, because I've been researching this from the time actually Scott McLaren has come on board, we've been looking at all kinds of things. But in researching this, this spec has been changed 10 times, you know, since its inception, for a variety of reasons. Three of them, I think, three changes emanated from housekeeping. But the others are changing from the needs of the department, an administration, or something that was being generated by COPT.
Councilmember Diller, Greta, Cartier, yeah. Weiner, Collins.
Weiner left.
I would just feel more comfortable if I were able to see those specs and to see this consistency, rather than feeling like we're just changing one. I mean, I believe you, but before the meeting, can we have those specs so that we can compare them?
Sure. The specs are actually on the website. All the specs.
Okay.
We can get those sent over. Every spec is for public consumption. It's nothing that's kept in HR.
Okay.
Every single spec, and that's not just in the Department of Public Safety. That's every county spec.
Okay.
One BD chief of human resources.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if I'm good, but I'm done.
Okay. Good and done.
Yes. Thank you. Eleanor, I have, you know, I have a lot of respect for you, and you're doing a good job. I just like to know, I talked to Mike Zielinski earlier. I never didn't get a chance to talk to you because when we were talking, you just came in, so I didn't get a chance to talk to you when we went into the session. My question to Mike was, the guys that are coming in now, Lynn brought it up about how they have to have certain type criteria, but the other is, as they go along into the process of being a policeman, they're going to school more and taking tests for the simple reason of getting promoted, and they're, you know, so they can go higher in the rank, sergeant, lieutenant, and things of that nature. So they have to take these classes and study. How does that affect them on, you know, their morale of saying that the experience? Now, you have years of experience over top of that because they're new. They're just coming in. They might have 5 years. You got X amount of years. So how does that affect?
Acting Chief, Sutton County Police. I went through those tests. I took those tests. I didn't come into the police department, leave the academy, and pin on captain's bars. I tested my way through sergeant. I tested my way through lieutenant. I tested my way through captain. I graduated from the FBI National Academy with a 3.99 GPA. I've also attended Harvard. I can go down a list of schools. I also went to the University of Delaware, University of Virginia. I have attended Harvard for the Senior Management Institute for Police. And what it all boils down to is I have just as many credits as anybody that's required to have credits coming on the police department. However, because you have to get them accumulated all at one school in order to get your degree, I've not been able to do that. I have 3 children and 2 grandchildren, and apparently I'm running a police department. So it's kind of tough to just sit down and say, I'm going to ignore everything and just finish it up. Do I have the credits required to come onto the police department? Yes. I also serve as a non-commissioned officer in the United States Navy. People coming in off the service don't have to have any credits. Furthermore, the 24 years of service that I have here, it constitutes my ability to command. The units that I have had in my past, and like to use the last 10 weeks as some type of measuring stick. We had a chief, when we changed the spec for one chief to become the chief, he had a degree. Mm-hmm. It was an agriculture councilman. Right. We don't grow corn. We're all out of corn. But we're in the business of policing. Mm-hmm. Now you can go back to the 2 majors. They have degrees. They don't want the job. They said so themselves. One of them has since retired. The other major has a degree. He's made it very clear. He doesn't want to be the chief of police. We can take this down to lieutenant's level. We've had some interesting situations when we made lieutenant chiefs of police. I submit to you that my level of education, which is the same as the Delaware State Police Chief, by the way, when he was the colonel of the Delaware State Police Department, because he was grandfathered, he came on when a degree wasn't required, much like myself, and he served in the Delaware State Police, the largest police agency in the state of Delaware, with no degree. It wasn't until the end of his tenure that he decided, because he was leaving the Delaware State Police, to get his degree. Yet somehow, because a former administration changed this so that a lieutenant, they changed it to senior lieutenant and then said needed a degree, and that degree, by the way, again, I'll remind you, was in agriculture, that's who they wanted for their chief, and God bless them. I guess each county executive wants the chief that they want. So they changed that spec so that he could be changed, put up there. Prior to that, it did say equal experience. The lieutenant colonel's job calls for equal experience. The major's job calls for equal experience. They prefer you have a degree. And you know what? Some of those guys did have a degree. Some of them had 2 degrees. Some had master's degrees. I submit to you that the agency was in stalemate and was rudderless for 4 years.
You know, I don't disagree with you. I think experience is one of the best teachers around. I really do. I've always said that because you learn from your mistakes as you go along. And you can put your knowledge to what you've learned towards your job. I've always agreed with that. But my question, I don't think you, maybe I didn't explain
maybe
it
I
right.
Missed it, sir.
Or maybe I didn't, you know, maybe I didn't come across right. My question was, the guys that are studying, coming in now, because they've got to have these different criterias.
Yes, sir.
how is that going to affect them on the changing of this?
It doesn't. I meet the exact same criteria, if that's the question. I mean, I have the you're required to have 60 college credits or military service. I have both. So that doesn't change. Ultimately, the truth is, when you have an applicant pool testing of 660 people, and we find 14 qualified applicants, we actually have a problem. We have already set our bar somewhere wrong. You know, we've already reduced the college requirement to nothing for people coming out of the military because we can't fill the cheap seats, Councilman. We can't find people that want to risk their lives to do this job. They ran off and went to college. You know, we've got many officers with college degrees, and some of them are absolutely brilliant. And I celebrate their education and their commitment. And I get what you're saying. Is it fair to them? I think what's fair is fair. I think, you know, we could maybe go find somebody that has a degree or, again, a double master's, and maybe we could go right back to where we were, saying, Council, give us 100 cops and we'll fix this.
Okay, and I got one more question, if that's all right.
Last one, yes.
A ready cop, he comes in from another department or out of state.
Happens all the time.
And I know it happens all the time. Some of them, when they come in, they're not doing a lot of the college. Some of them are. How does that work as a ready cop coming in without a lot of the degrees that we basically require?
We're basing them on their experience. We do a background check on them. We look at them. If they have the true police experience, that's what really fits the bill. And again, we've had officers come on to the department with degrees in law. Well, Wendy Fieser has a degree in biological chemistry. Pat Crow has a biochemistry degree. Right. It's just that's what they alluded to study. It has nothing to do with policing. I mean, maybe if we got a forensics lab going, but you know, the truth is, when I was at Harvard, there was a simple saying, and they said leadership starts in the sandbox. You can't teach it. It's not something we're going to pick up on a piece of paper.
I agree with you on that earlier.
And I thank you very much, Councilman. Believe me, I respect your opinion. I know exactly what you're saying. You don't want to be unfair to the other candidates. Neither do I. But there aren't any other candidates, not at my level. The only one could possibly be Captain Matt Jamieson. He has a degree. It's not in policing. He's a great guy. He's a brilliant man. He could run this agency. He's 53 years old. So we got a chief for 2 more years. And, you know, this is another man who supports me, stands beside me, you know, looking forward to leading the agency. I think we're over-focused on a particular piece of this. And
thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a couple more questions. The order was Councilmember Cartier, Weiner, Bale, Powers.
I'm not going to go on at any great length. I just want to boil it down to a very practical situation. And, you know.
Thank you.
Time is of the essence, and Councilman Street's right. The police need clear leadership knowledge about who's going to be doing this job. The way I look at this, it's an appointed position by the county executive. The county executive has a candidate. He's been test-driven the job. We don't have a candidate here. We're not changing a spec to have an inferior candidate. We have a highly trained, experienced police officer acting as chief. I think he's amply demonstrated to me he has the capacity to do the job and do it creatively and frankly put the criminal element on the run. And I'm going to support this change. And, you know, specs can be changed to fit circumstances. It's an appointed position. We can do this, and we're going to do really well with changing this spec and making our acting chief the chief of police.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilmember Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am very aware of the fact that we are the checks and balances in this branch of government, and that we have to exercise that authority. It's for us to say whether or not the person is qualified or not, whether they've got a master's, doctoral degree, or whatever. I personally happen to feel that Elmer Setting is qualified for the job. If I didn't, I would be voting no, but I'm going to be voting yes. But I do have one question if you don't mind my asking, how old are you?
I am 47. Well, I'm sorry. I'm 46. I'm about to turn 47.
Okay, so
they burp you.
So then you could a little lower. So you could serve for 8 years as the chief of police.
We could say that it at least had 4 years of continuity.
Okay,
sir.
Well, that would be a change of pace.
Yes, that would be. Sir. Yeah. I'd like to say eight, but I would like to see four.
Right.
To be honest, and just so everybody knows, I have reverted my credits over to Wilmington College. It is my intention once more to go back to school. I've been to quite a few of them, I admit, but kids came along, obligations came along. Actually, this badge that I'm standing behind came along. Many times I worked shift work, many nights I couldn't go to school. There were many times when my kids were sick. There were just times in your life when you just couldn't pack up and say, I'm going to school 5 nights a week. It was impossible working shift work. I am going back to school, folks. This change would allow me to do it at a slower pace, but I am returning to school if anyone's actually concerned about that.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I guess, you know, I've done quite a bit of research on this since this topic started to surface, and the major's position definitely reads and or equivalent. And I think that one of the things that was mentioned is that this has been changed back and forth through the years, and it has, depending on the circumstances. But I think what this does is by changing this back really to what it belongs. The fact is that must possess a bachelor's degree from an accredited college or university, but it gives you the option to make the proper decision when you say, or the equivalent law enforcement experience, education, and rank from the Newcastle County Police and have police training experience. It gives new administrations, be it this one or in the future, it gives this council, it gives us the flexibility to take a look at who we have, and we want the best of the best. And we all support education, but we all know that we have folks that have a combination of education, experience, institutional knowledge, and leadership that qualify as equal. And I think when you look at the situation we have at hand is that the Senior Management Institute for the police, Harvard, PERF, requires lieutenant or above. It requires senior management of the police department to go to that. And he not only went, but he accomplished it and graduated from it. The FBI National Academy, second to none. You're on a waiting list here in the state of Delaware to even get accepted to that, because every law enforcement agency in Delaware is vying for one and sometimes two positions that may be open to the entire nation for this academy. And Captain Setting was recommended, and was chosen out of everybody in the state of Delaware from other law enforcement agencies to attend, and successfully graduated. I think with his experience, with his leadership experience, with his management experience, I think it is an equivalent, or even better in some cases, than other types of degrees. I think we have an opportunity, as we've had on other occasions, at different times in history of this county, to select different options, to select different folks, both from within and outside at times. We have an opportunity to select someone from within that is equally qualified to that degree, with a combination of experience and education, institutional knowledge, and leadership. And I will be wholeheartedly supporting the change. I would hope that this would stay the same once it's changed, so that, you know, folks that can get their education, can pursue an education, graduate, it is important. And it may even help them succeed over someone else that has experience, but yet they also have that education. But I don't think that this hurts anyone. What this does do is it gives us the flexibility as a government to select the best qualified candidate.
Good point.
And I think we're selecting the best qualified candidate.
Thank you, Councilmember Bell. Councilmember Powers, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Councilmember Hollins.
I just, with what was kind of said, I think experience needs to be should fall into it. And when you said an ag degree in growing corn, I bet he doesn't know how to grow corn. because what I'm saying is I've taken
college. And he don't have a degree.
I don't have a degree, and I took college, and that stuff worked on figuring out what I'm going to spray, what rates, more the math. But how I learned to plant corn was from my grandfather and my parents. And you'll never learn that in school. And doing the experience is what it is. Now, he might be able to plant corn, but he may not be able to set that planter up. He may be able to stick it in the ground by hand, but not to set that equipment and now set up the GPS and everything else to go with it. Experience. There's tons of farmers out there that have a lot of experience. And when I was growing up, most of them didn't go past an eighth grade education. Their education was from that, doing it themselves.
Thank you, Mr. Cloud.
Without those farmers, we wouldn't have had moonshine.
You wouldn't have the commercial on the Super Bowl. And God made a farmer.
Councilmember Kilpatrick. You're a farmer. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Just tomatoes.
How do you call
it? Called Holland's one street.
Then Councilmember Holland. Councilmember Street.
Thank you. I'm going to be really quick here. I mean, I think I said in the very beginning that I was not questioning this because of the person, because I fully support Chief Setting. I think that what we need is to make sure that we are here to set public policy, and that, Lynn, if you can work with us, not necessarily today, but in the future, to make sure that we have entry level and building blocks, so as you see that you're tracking through the police department, because we're talking about this, that you understand what your criteria is to get to the top level or the next level, so that you build yourself professionally. Whether it's because you want to or whether it's because our criteria says, I think we need to have a level playing field for every person within that department, so that everybody understands, as Colonel Setting said, we've seen where they've gone outside of the process to take somebody three levels below where they should have been recruiting from. And I think we are here for public policy. We are not here for personalities. And we need just to make sure that our public policy is defensible and gives everybody the understanding as to what they need to do in reality to get to where in their professional life they would like to be.
If I may respond to that.
HR, yes.
Lynn Beattie, Chief Human Resources Officer, I concur with what you're saying. I think this change gets us to where we need to be and where we should be. If you look at all the specs, almost every spec in county government has a degree requirement or the equivalent of education. I don't think there's any confusion on this. I think the confusion was created when that was changed. I know the original, I think you cited in 1997, the administration put the degree requirement in. In 2003, they corrected it and made it a degree requirement or the equivalent of education, because I think it speaks to what you're giving to the workforce who are starting from the ground up and staying long-term employees where they may not have had the opportunity to finish their degree. I have three degrees, so I do value education. I have a bachelor's, I have a master's, I have a JD. But I also know just because you have a degree, you can be a fool at the same time.
Absolutely.
I recognize that. You can buy degrees today. But I'm sorry, I have no other way to say it. Maybe it's too much.
Maybe it's the dress.
But seriously, notwithstanding the appearance, seriously, you want to get the best person. I think you guys know me, councilpersons know me well enough that I'm not going to endorse something that, you know, someone's going to put a gun to my head. I really do believe this. I believe that education is very important, but I also think there remains something to be said about the experience. Are you going to throw out the baby with the bathwater because you want someone with a summa cum laude, JD, MBA, whatever, whatever, and then make a mockery of what they're trying to do in the vision of police? I'm in a different place here because I'm listening to all this, and this really is about the spec. It's not about the person, and I just want to stay focused because I think Councilwoman Kilpatrick, you brought us back to that. It's not about acting chief setting. It's about the spec, and it's about doing what is right by the spec that I can hold my hat on when I look to see how the specs are written, where you have one thing that's looking a little odd, and then when I look back to see why was it changed, it just doesn't sit well in my gut. So this writes the record, but you have the power of the vote. This Thank is you. The spec, but not the person.
Thank you. Before we hear from the other council people, 6:15 is the goal of the chair to conclude this meeting at 6:30, so we can prepare for our 7 o'clock meeting. All right. Now, I forgot what the order was. Holland, yes, and then Dylan, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, when you look at the history here, the specs have been changed back and forth all over the place. Yes, you can't follow it. There's no logic to it. It could be argued that it was changed to give a senior lieutenant the position and so forth. So it's been all over the place. And personally, I talked to Chief Setting, and for me, it's not about him. So all of this discussion about how great he is or how great he's not is of no real merit to me, quite frankly. It's the fact that we're changing it, and it could be argued, perhaps correctly, that, okay, we're changing it for him. But that's not the reason why I'm supporting the legislation. The fact of the matter is, years ago, I felt that when we had the discussions about 4 years or so forth, I argued it wasn't necessary based on the fact that it limits diversity and that you have a lot of awful lot of talent out there who don't have a four-year degree, and especially in the police ranks, because the fact of the matter is, in my opinion, most police officers get most of their specialized training after they become police officers. That's when they go to the academies and so forth, FBI, Harvard, et cetera. So that whole notion about how great, and maybe he's as great as people are saying, but I don't think that's what it's about here. The fact of the matter is, we have an opportunity, and it also gives him an opportunity. But for me, you know, if you look at the history of police officers and you compare it with other jurisdictions, quite frankly, I think we've gone too far with that. And, you know, to me, I think if we focus on why we're doing this, it makes common sense, and to not just continue this thing about Elmer Setting, I think the better off he'll be, and I think the better off we will be. And the fact of the matter is, I think he's done an outstanding job and so forth and all that. The one thing I do agree with Councilwoman Kilpatrick is that there needs to be some consistency here. Yeah. If he's going to say one thing for major, 4 years or 10 years or whatever, or equivalent, it should say similar as we're going up and down the ranks, especially with the senior ranks. So I do agree with your point of view. That needs to be clear. And the other thing I have as a person, though we're not dealing with here now, is that from what I read, I don't have it before me, it makes a reference to Newcastle County Police. And so does that limit the ability to go outside to get a chief? You know, that's another issue. We did have a chief from... It doesn't?
Lynn Beattie, Chief of Human Resources. No, it doesn't. You have two sets of criteria for the chief of police, one for internal and one for external candidates. So that's the spec. Right. That external has not changed.
Thank you.
Okay. I just want to make certain we keep that window open as well. We don't always need to have, in my opinion, and most people would disagree, the chief of police coming from the ranks of Newcastle County Police. But as far as I'm concerned, it makes good sense. It's a point I've argued long before I knew Elmer Setting, and I'm going to support it tonight.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Taylor, and then Street.
Yeah, I would just like to ask if, you know, if we, no matter what happens tonight, that we need to look for consistency through all of these job descriptions. I think that makes a lot of sense. And the other thing is, if, as you mentioned, Captain Setting, that you think the bar is so high already, you know, do we need to have a discussion about what requirements are? You know, I mean, this doesn't, you don't have to say anything now, but I mean, I just think that if we're opening the door here, let's talk about what is really needed in the long run. As the resident PhD, I can't help but ask these questions.
She's thrown her degree in the ring.
Councilmember Street.
As crafted and as presented, the job description is devoid of substance. A bachelor's degree in what? It is not specific as to what the degree should be in. And an accredited college could be some of the colleges that, if you look at a resume,
and you would not accept it in your particular workplace. So to rest solely on the existing job description, I think is a grave error in judgment. Second, 24 years experience. So now when he comes in, he's qualified to be the police chief. 2 years later, he's not qualified. 4 years later, he's not qualified. 3 years later, he is qualified. 1997, he's no longer qualified. Give me a break. What are you saying to his career ladder? And in response to the meritorious concern raised by Councilman Retta, that sword cuts two ways. You can look at it, a police officer can look at it and say, well, I'm doing this and I've done that, and this is not fair. By the same token, a police officer without a degree could look at it and say, you know what? If I get the training and I pass the test, I can be eminently qualified to be the police chief, just like the current chief or acting chief. And finally, I think 24 years experience counts. If it was going from sergeant to chief, which in my opinion has not worked in other jurisdictions, I'd have a problem. If it were 10 years, just 10 years, I may have a problem. But we're going from captain from 24 years. To me, that's major. And if the tone and tenor is set for where we go, the example that the acting chief gave in terms of the superintendent of Delaware State Police not having to meet that requirement, if we're going to play hard, let's play fair and be consistent across the board. And I'll say the rest of the next.
I do say for the record that this is an appropriate public policy revision. I will be supporting this revision based on his qualifications and demonstrated ability to lead our law enforcement in the future with excellence.
Can I just remind everybody that this is not, we're not appointing you tonight. This is only the law, the criteria. This will come back before us.
No, they're using us to get a change for somebody else. They really don't want him. Far be it for me to start anything, but I read it on the wall.
Well, thank you for the discussion, and let's move on. There's no discussion on this point. Item agenda number 6, discussion and possible vote on amendment to rule 242 on the floor. Mr. Smiley.
Okay, I'm going to run through this quickly. A hard copy was placed in everyone's box, plus it was emailed to them. It wasn't 7 days in advance, as rules. It was in the box in time, but not emailed. And so I'm just going to go through this briefly and with an intent to vote it at the next exec committee meeting. All right? So just go through it. A lot of it is just non-substantive changes, adding that the vote may be a yay, nay, or roll call vote required. Basically, the idea behind this is to take any ambiguity or any potential challenges out of our right to have a floor amendment. The substantive changes are, we'll be adding, best efforts shall be used to secure from the Department of Finance a revised fiscal note on any floor amendments that would substantively revise the fiscal impact as noted in the fiscal note of the legislation being amended. We do that now. It would be in the language. Yay or nay vote. Here's a substantive change is substitutes or floor amendments that add a matter of substance that is not embraced in the title shall be reintroduced. So that's just clarifying. So the way it was before, there was a question as to whether we could even change a typo without sending it back. This just clarifies it so that we can do substitutes from the floor, we can move the legislation forward, and not have to tie up a lot of time. Simple as that. So I did put it in the box. It was emailed. I'd asked every council member to look at it, and I asked to be placed on the next executive agenda. If there's not going to be an executive meeting in 2 weeks, I'd ask to know in advance so we could place it on another agenda so that we could take care of it. All right?
Council, let me hear from you on that, please.
Mr. Smith,
sure.
This is just a matter, we've had a couple of rules that had been changed that were raising legal issues. For example, you couldn't have a substitute without sending it back to the original body to have it another opinion, which means you could never introduce a substitute, which was just an error. This one required you to get a fiscal note on a floor amendment, which would eviscerate your power to ever amend any legislation, which is not in the law. It isn't in any parliamentary procedure. It simply took away all of your powers. There also are ambiguous words that are in there, such as what is substantive, what isn't. We've already been challenged on this. This just sets you up for a lawsuit, prevents you from doing your job as legislators. That Council Member Smiley's change would rectify that.
Council Member Wise.
I spent some considerable time analyzing this, and I concur with the comments made by the sponsor and by our council to council. I think this is returning the status quo. It is consistent with FOIA. It's consistent with the Roberts Rules of Order concerning oral amendment. And I think these legislative, these rule changes are advisable, and I intend to support it. But I appreciate the deference, the respect for our rule to make sure that we have 7 full days when we received it. And I guess it could be argued putting it in our box. I don't know how many of us check our box. I got it on Thursday. I appreciate just respecting the fact that we said 7 days notice, and so I appreciate the sponsor putting it off until next time.
Thank you. Anything else on this, Mr. Smiley?
I just asked that it be read between now and then.
All right.
I did.
That's all.
Thank you. Anything other? Public comment?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moving down.